Yes, good evening. Good evening, dear listeners. Welcome to Business and Economic Segment with me, David Shombe. And it's the right time. It's quite the right time to thank Helmut and Dwight with their home run program. And now is your time for Business and Economic Segment. We are going, as it has always been the case, update you on what is happening around the globe, what is happening in the continent of Africa, and what is happening in Namibia. And yeah, it's the 10th of October, 2025. It's a Friday. I'm a Friday. And we see and we understand some of you are already out. Some of you are already outside. Some of you are working overtime. Some of you are on your way to work. But the fact of the matter remains that time wasted is income lost. So it's always very important to make sure that whatever you do, even when you are chilling out strategically. Even when you are chilling out, you are making sure that what are you getting out of that chill? Is it a chill for the sake of chilling, or you are just going out so that you can also make those strategic partnership? Because remember, those that you are drinking with, those that you are dancing with, are those that your kids will go to when they want a connection one day in the future. Those are the people that your grandsons will go to when they want connection in the future. That's why there is always an advice to say that look at the people that you are sitting with, look at the people that you are drinking with, look at the people that you are dancing with. Because Nicole Machiavelli indicated that if you want to define the character and the quality of a leader, look at the people that are surrounding that person, because you do not need somebody to prove to you. Look at the association of a person, then you get a clear picture on how things are. But yeah, in terms of what is happening around the world, a lot of things are happening. It's an ongoing commission of inquiry in South Africa. Where Nanam Kwananzi, it's a police commissioner of KZN, spill the beans. And we'll be able also to see that a lot of people are implicated. And how is South Africa going to survive this point? South Africa is known to be a country which managed to handle its problems. Either it's political tumult, it's state capture, it's pala-pala and all other things. But what is very important is also that is also now the time for us Africans also to look at how can we strengthen our institutions, and make them strong to that extent that they can be able to withstand the pressure and changes of time. Because if you do not have a strong business community, if you do not have a strong public sector, if you do not have a strong NGO, you do not have a strong executive, we will continue to waste money on fighting, we will continue to waste money on investigating each other instead of focusing on national priorities. That is why at Business and Economic Segment, those are the area, those are the critical areas that we are looking at to say what is in for Africa for the future, what is in for us, and also what are those things that need to be done correctly, and also how we can educate each other. Because the fundamental aim of the conversation, the fundamental aim of the program is to make sure that we educate one another on what is happening around the world. And what is necessary is not only about to give you facts, data, and statistics. What is necessary is about the lesson learned. Because at the end of the day, we must. Yeah. And today we are going to look at the rankings. We're going to look at the relationship between you doing well economically in terms of statistics and also the impact of those, the impact of economic growth, especially when it comes to the people on the ground. And today we are going to look at the focus on Ivory Coast, especially when they made history. They made history to make sure that when it comes to the selling of cocoa and production of cocoa, Ivory Coast has increased its official farm gate price. And farm gate price, for those of you who are in agriculture, for those of you who are in farming, a farm gate price is a price that is paid directly to the farmer, particularly when it's coming to the standard of selling that product. But what you need to remember is that when it comes to the current global projection, we were so shocked, especially when it comes to IMF, World Bank, World Trade Organization, readjusting their focus. And what is this telling us? This is telling us that no matter the situation in the global market, Southern Africa, Sub-Saharan Africa to be in particular, Sub-Saharan Africa, is thriving. And the projection in other countries is 5%, Zimbabwe 6%. And we'll be able also to see that in the next 3 months, we'll be able to see a good productive yield in terms of that, economic growth. But the question has always been here to say, what is the distribution method that these countries are using to make sure that those resources that they are getting are...
Titanium, the perfect fit between platinum and silver, complementing our existing benefit options. We always offer a comprehensive healthcare experience. NHP, the premier member-centric medical aid fund. Visit NHP today at nhp.com.na. NHP, we're about you.
With either a non-alcoholic Heineken, Savannah, Vintook Original, or Vintook Lemon, let's cheers to connecting. To moments shared and good vibes, anytime, anywhere. Grab one of our great tasting non-alcoholic beers or ciders. Easy to connect, easy to enjoy. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
To make sure that those resources that they are getting are reaching the needy people. Because remember, at the scale of commercial farming, for example, at the scale of commercial farming, at the scale of a state doing business with other state, money is there, production is productive, and there is also increment in terms of profit. But when it's coming to distribution of those funds, either through the service that is given to the people, you will be able also to see that there is a lot of things which are lacking. That is how now, in this juncture, I'm going to discuss about... the Ivory Coast developmental stage, Ivory Coast, developmental system. Where are they in terms of, economic ranking? What is the impact of this on to the people? And, we also look at other countries to say, for example, when you look in Africa, when you look at, who is the best producer of diamond in the world? Yes, yeah, you have Russia, but at the second place, you have Botswana, our friend. We are Botswana, our neighbor, with second producer of diamonds. What is this diamond doing to the people of Botswana? What percentage does Botswana have in Anglo-American companies, the BS? How much percentage that the government has in that? In what are they trying to do? When you look at who is the best producer of, for example, of cobalt in the world, you talk about DRC. At what standard of price this is being produced, and how is this money being distributed back to the community of the people of DRC? When you look at, for example, at platinum, that is South Africa leading. The whole entire world, South Africa leading in terms of production of platinum. But the question is that how come, and who owns this means of production? Now, looking at Ivory Coast, Ivory Coast, for those of you, who do not know or who, trying to, who try to remember, especially when it's coming to the history of Africa. Ivory Coast is also known as, Côte d'Ivoire. It's also known as, Côte d'Ivoire. It's a country in West Africa. It's a country in West Africa that is closer to, Burkina Faso, Mali, Guinea, Liberia, and Ghana. And it's known, apart from producing strong, competitive football players such as Drogba, Kalou, and many others, you also be able to see and realize that when it comes to economic production, Ivory Coast has been known to be the main producer of cocoa. And cocoa is it's a plant that is used in various respects, such as the making of chocolates, the chocolate that you see, especially the dark chocolates that you see, that is the primary source of that is cocoa. Then you look at aspect of medication, look at mood enhancement, cardiovascular health, rich antioxidants. We speak about baking and also other beverages. Then you'll be able to understand that currently as we are speaking, Countries Asia are speaking, it was indicated that the world leading cocoa producer has successfully traced its origin of roughly 40% of its cocoa beans during 2024-2025 seasons. On top of that, as I indicated, when it's coming to the farmers in Ivory Coast, there is an increment of farm gate price to 1,500 CFA francs, which is 2.47 US dollars per kg. That is now from Tuesday. And it's increased with 500 CFA. Now, in that context, it was also indicated that the president, Alassane Ouattara, indicated that or validated that proposal and stated that there is no moving back and the country will be able to expand its production. Now, while we are here, I want you to take you a little back, especially to say, although Ivory Coast is producing more than 60% of global cocoa production, who are their selling partners? The main selling partner of these products is European Union. The main trading partner with this product is European Union. And the question that you need to ask yourself is also that at what price are they buying? What are some of the requirements which European Union is putting, especially when it's coming to the trade with Ivory Coast? Now, here is what is very interesting. Although Ivory Coast become a global player in terms of cocoa production, understand that for it to trade with the EU, for it to trade with countries in European Union zone, there are requirements that have to be put there, because EU trade have their own requirements that they have to be there to make sure that the cocoa that you are putting in our market must come from an environmental friendly area, must come from environmental friendly areas, and must also be produced without deforestation or the destruction of environment. Now, one may want to ask to say, why so strict requirements in a product that I'm the one who is dominating? Why there are so strict requirements in the product that I'm dominating? Because why should I produce reports where, how I produce my products, especially if you do not have a standing on negotiation, because I'm the one who is supplying? Because remember, if you talk about 60%, it means that you are the big player, not only in Africa, not only in Europe, not only in the US, but everywhere. When people want to make chocolates, especially dark chocolates, they look at Ivory Coast. But what is very interesting is that 2 days ago, there is a news which came out to say Ivory Coast was given the responsibility to trace the origin of cocoa beans they sent to EU in order to make sure that they comply with European Union anti-deforestation impacts rules. And this proposal or this regulation is indicating that importers of commodities like cocoa must prove their supply chains are not linked to deforestation. The law was due to take effect on the 30th of December 2025, but it has been postponed by 1 year after pushback from industry players and trade partners, citing higher implementation cost. Now, looking at this aspect, one may also want to look at this to say, who is the barrier of African success? Who is the barrier of African success? And when you are speaking about this aspect, why so strict requirements in terms of trade? I respect and I understand World Trade Organization as a referee in this trade game. But there's something that we also need to be very clear about, to say, what is so difficult for Ivory Coast? What is so difficult for African countries to start looking inward where the solution is inward. What is so difficult for them? Even if you are the best player, even if you are the best producer of that product, when you are going outside, you have to play according to the drums which you found there. Do you know how this, how demotivating this? Do you know the strictness of requirements that the person has to put there in order to make sure that you prove that you are relevant in terms of sales? But that is something that we need to discuss deeper, something that we need to discuss deeper to say, in terms of international trade rules, are these international trade rules the same everywhere? Or there are some players who are more entitled than other players? And when it comes to Africa, something which I spoke about this morning to say, when it comes to Africa, how strict are we in terms of netting, in terms of vetting those products which are dumped into our market? And why Africa is so reluctant, especially when it's coming to become the dumping site of every company which can come from anywhere? Because if you want to understand what I mean, and I've been saying this and I continue to say this, if you want to understand what I mean, go to a dumping site of any township. Look at the products which are out there. How old are these products? At what price they were born? They were bought? And what contribution did they have to a person, to an ordinary person? Why African market is filled with weak toys, plastics, products which are only lasting few hours, but we continue to produce materials which are holding world largest buildings in the world? Africa continue to produce gold that is worn by kings, queens, emperors of those days, oligarchs of these days, the top one richest people of this world, the celebrities of this world, they are wearing African products. But what is returned to Africa? What is returned to Africa is toys, is plastic, is beautiful cars and beautiful, trains that we do not even know how to fix them. When you want to fix them, we are still going to spend our money to get somebody. Now, let us move away from Ivory Coast. Let us look at, for example, before we go into that context, let us look at, for example, which led, or countries which are still leading in terms of cobalt production. Now, in terms of cobalt production, you have a country such as Democratic Republic of Congo, which is leading in terms of cobalt production. But I want you to connect the dots. Look at being the best, and look at your people. It's directly opposite to each other. Being the best is what you are producing, because when you come to the ranking, for example, let's look at cocoa production. In terms of ranking, Ivory Coast is number one. That is only one of the products, one of the elements, one of the minerals. One of the products that they are selling. One of the natural resources that they are selling, but they have minerals and other resources that they are selling. But look at Ivory Coast poverty rate. Look at 40% of the people who are in poverty. Then you look at Ivory Coast service delivery. Look at the ranking of Ivory Coast in terms of World Bank ranking, in terms of development. Then you'll be able to understand to say, we have a long way to go, because it become more than what we say, it become more than what we see. And it has to go through implementation of right, well-crafted, short, understandable policies that are answering to the needs of the people. If that is not the case, if that does not happen, if that did not happen, then we have a long way to go. Then we continue to preach about the Africa that we want, until the kingdom come, and who knows. So now let's look at, for example, let's compare. Now you have the main supplier of EU, which is number one in the world, not only in Africa but in the whole world, but in terms of its human development, in terms of its poverty rate, it's leading one of the poorest countries in the world. Then you look at DRC, for example. Everybody spoke about DRC, but nothing is happening in DRC. Instead of them putting their governance together, instead of them, making sure that they unite themselves as brothers and sisters, they are continue prosecuting each other and giving each other death sentence, while people are busy looting the economy of DRC. I was just reading a report from Democratic Republic of Congo, which is indicating that in terms of mining firms audit, around 17 billion US dollars went unreported. That is how dangerous the situation is. That is now, it's an audit. An audit is now is auditing based on numbers. What about that which is not recorded? How much are these people losing every day? How much are they losing every day? Now, you are number one producer of cobalt in the world, followed by Russia and many other countries. But when it's coming to poverty level, you are also leading. How contradictory is that? You look at Botswana. Yes, I understand our friend. It's our bilateral relationship, and we have a lot of commonalities. Whatever happened, we have a lot of commonalities. And I love the fact that our president is a state woman. It's a state woman to that extent that he put the state above everything else. Where you look at the way Duma Boko is treated in Namibia, unlike what we people could have expected, but that could not come from Namibia, because look at the relationship with the former president. Look at the alliance of liberation struggle, political parties. But at this level, we must think where it's needed to be thanked, to say, at that level of accommodation, at that level of discussion, at that level of respect, and also looking at forging countries toward greater economic development, which we are hoping to be, I think that was a good treatment, particularly looking at that background. Two different leadership orientation, two different political home ground, two different levels in terms of leadership generations, but one aim to make sure that all these statesmen, all these presidents are aiming for the greater good of what is in their country. But now, apart from that, now when you are looking at Botswana, you must be able to understand that after Russia, because remember, Russia is also quite diamonds in the world. After Russia, then you have Botswana. But Botswana is still struggling with their own problem. They are still negotiating. They still want to buy stakes in the BS. They are still struggling to buy stakes to make sure that they take control of their natural resources. Poverty level, you can compare with Namibia. Unemployment level is the case. Botswana just lost its long-term liberation movement, the political parties, last year. History has been made in that context. But the question that we're asking ourselves is that, what is that they are doing differently? Because it's always important to look at the defining factor. What is the defining factor that is telling you that Botswana is going to be different in the next 5 years? The same question that you're asking Botswana, being number one in terms of ranking and then the last in terms of few basic things. The same question we should ask Ivory Coast. And it's the same question that we should not be scared of asking ourselves, to say, what is different? What is that we are doing different from other people? Because when you start getting access to data, then you start realizing that development of the country is a very critical issue. It's a very critical issue, and it's also an issue that is not the one-man show. And it's also an issue which is very complicated, because if you do not understand it, you end up blaming wrong people. Then the same question that we need to ask ourselves is that, what are you doing, you, as a professional,
Are you working with integrity? Are you working with honesty? Are you committed enough to deliver beyond your imaginary expectation? Are you able to work out so that that tax can be paid to help the needy? Or you are just doing it for the sake of doing it? Because if you are not answering that, we'll be recorded as Ivory Coast, we'll be recorded as we are. We are also part of that list of being, number one or number three in terms of what we produce. Look at uranium. We are still leading. We are number three in the world in terms of uranium production. But you know what is very interesting? Looking at the years ahead, what is very interesting is that the numbers are still standing to say the main uranium producer mines in Namibia, some of them, they have just 9 years or 8 years. And you must be very clear in terms of lifespan. They just have 8-9 years in terms of their lifespan. And the question that we are going to ask ourselves, and the question that the generation after us will continue to ask us, is that what have you done during that time when you were number three in the world in terms of uranium production? What have you done? Because interestingly, now, due to the global changes, supply and demand, war and all those things which are affecting our economy, the economic shocks, due to those economic shocks, you may be able to see that if you look at August trade balance, if you look at August trade balance, you may be able to see that uranium lost its top export position in Namibia, because it has been leading for quite some time. Even when it lost its position number one, it does not end at number two. Even if it's at number three, it does not end at number three with the same percentage as number three has been in July in terms of top five exports in Namibia. Then that should not scare you. What should scare you is the gap of deficit in terms of trade balance in Namibia. If that does not scare you enough, you must be able to look deep into the statistics to say, why so much gap? Why am I making a loss at the loss level? Why the economy is growing at a decreasing rate? And what should scare you is also that without our problems and challenges, we were able to see that we still fail to stand on our own. But when you look at other countries, for example, look at Zimbabwe. Against all the odds, against being having a leader for almost 40 years, being sanctioned for 20 years and so on, being scattered around the world, but they managed to stand up and become resilient until to even those who said Zimbabwe will not get anywhere, they end up praising Zimbabwe. But what I'm trying to indicate to you is that let us look beyond numbers, and let us also look how can we assist each other, and how can we use that of which put us into the map. Then we can scale it down to an ordinary person. Because if we do that, you know what's going to happen? We will. Yeah, as we are progressing with the business and economic segment, it's time to look also at self-assessment. Self-assessment, especially when you look at the link between, what is happening in terms of outlook, and also what is happening within. Now, let us look at Namibia, apart from now that of what have happened in terms of Ivory Coast, especially looking at the upgrading in terms of capacitating their farmers, and also upgrading in terms of production.
of cocoa, regardless of EU restriction in terms of the way they do trade. And as we have compared with other countries, one of the things that we need to look at is also that how do we deal with things internally? How do we deal with things internally to make sure that when you deal with things internally, we are able to protect ourselves from unforeseen challenges, especially with what has been on the table for quite some time. Now, there is something that we do not pay much attention into, especially when you talk about local development. There is a recent report which is based on a survey done by FinFit Investment, and that is a nationwide online survey which was done especially to Namibian government employees to look at their perspective. What are their perspectives when it comes to, you know, payroll deduction management system? Now, that report has different questions, and there are various, you know, questions, particularly when it's coming to the direct or the payroll deduction management system, to say how many of the employees feel that it is safe to keep direct payroll deduction management system that can deduct money from their accounts when they owe. Either you own a cash loan, you owe, you know, you own a bank, and without any delay, that system operate. But the government is proposing. The government is proposing to get away with payroll deduction system. Now, what is very interesting, is that what came up with this conversation, especially with data and statistics, is that out of people who took part in that survey, you'll be able to realize that 70% of the participants in that survey, they were not happy with getting away with payroll deduction management system. And when you look at the numbers are indicating to you that with the Survey Monkey, which is a format or it's a system which is used to conduct data, and it's a form of the research. That's why we are always saying to say, if you want to come up with a decision, look at what people are saying. So with that monkey survey or Survey Monkey, it's indicating that out of 1,532 submission, 1,125 were confirmed by government, were confirmed as government employees after that data evaluation. And also that sample of 657 participants show the validity, or they were varied response to that survey. Now, putting it into perspective, especially where we are in the country, where it's very difficult to maintain money. It's very difficult to maintain money. Although when you look at what Bank of Namibia is doing in putting on, you know, various campaign on financial inclusion, one must be able to understand that financial inclusion without effective financial literacy is going to be very dangerous, because you be able to allow people to get money, but how are they going to maintain that money? Because if you look at the second quarter of NAMFISA 2025, where you look at the cash loan book, it is indicated that the cash loan book is standing at 7 billion. That is how much Namibians owe to cash loans or micro lenders. If you look at the final quarter of the financial year of 2024, you'll be able to look to realize that it was standing at 8.1 billion. That's how much Namibians owe. But now, what are the results saying about getting away with this PDMS, that is payroll deduction management system? You'll be able to see that out of those who took part in that research, and it's a very interesting thing, is that 83
foresee more difficulty in keeping up with the payment, especially when you remove this direct system. 70% believe that access to loan will worsen, and 71 fear that debit order fee will make payment too costly, and only about 15% believe that the situation will improve. Now, that is a basic survey that was done to look at the views and perspective of various government employees, especially when it's coming to payroll deduction management system. And you'll be able to see that it's only 15% of these people who indicated that they are very happy with getting away with it. Now, there is various argument on Facebook. There is various argument on all social media platform, particularly coming into this context. Some are saying, no, it's only about those who do not know how to manage their money. It's only about those, you know, who are reckless when it's coming to handling of money, who do not want this direct or payroll deduction system to get away with. But the question that we need to ask ourselves is this context to say, in an environment that we are living in, that's why I'm always telling people to say, let us fight, let us be inclusive, let us unite in terms of fighting poverty and inequality. Because you know, when you do, because you know, when you fight poverty and inequality collectively, you are not isolating yourself, and you are also helping yourself not to be in burden. Because remember, if you are the only person who is working in a family and you do not want to assist other people, they will find a way to come to you, and they also find a way to get money from you, one way or the other. But if you are clever enough, you realize to say, it's not correct for me to be the only person who get income in this family. I have to make sure that if I don't send my cousin to school, if I do not invest in the potential of those who I'm seeing potential in, it's going to be trouble in the future. Because you may be very good at handling your money, but that of who you are going to assist with money is not going to handle that money correctly. And that is going to be an impact not only to your pocket, but also to the needs of those who depend on that person that you are giving money. That's how complicated finance is. Because if you are asking yourself today to say, the money that you are handling now, the money that in your pocket, where do you think that money comes from? If you just ask yourself that question, if you understand the circulation of money, you'll be able to understand that it could be some people, they were squandering money, it ended up in your head. It could be that somebody wanted to assist somebody, then it ended up in your head. It could be a fair business. But what we are trying to say is that in the context of where we are, especially considering the fact of inequality, the fact of poverty, and the fact of majority of the people unable to participate fully, effectively, in economic development of the country, we must be able to see that we are not overthinking. That is number one. We are not overthinking in approaching issues. If the issue is food insecurity, get the number, how many people are dying of hunger, how many of people are not able to feed themselves, what projects are you coming up with, when are you going to evaluate that? Let us put it that way. It's simple as such. I had a guest in my show last week, and one of the things that he mentioned is that you guys like overthinking. You are wasting time overthinking. Pull the trigger and act, especially when it's coming to issues. If the problem is a law, why can't you go there straight and say, no, we are going to sit here for 1 week, then we are going to deal with that law. We are going to find a problem with that law. And we are going to, not only to say we problematize it, or we find problems in that, we find ways on how to move forward. If the issue is a trade law, let us go to the trade law. Then we can finish what we have started, especially when it's coming to what you want as a country. Now, that is an argument which is aligned with many other arguments, especially when we want to move at one direction. Because somebody was speaking about NDP6 to say, NDP6 is a very brilliant program, but the Namibians, we are running out of time. We are still at meetings. We are still at meetings discussing about issues instead of us being on the ground running. Because we are supposed to hit the ground running already. Now,
when you look at NDP6 now, then you look at other complementing policies, when you look at the other developmental plans, then you are asking yourself to say, where are all these things going to meet? Because some people are still restructuring their programs. They're still restructuring. But you know what is very interesting? Without a deeper understanding of the internal nature of the policy, the needs are out there. There is nobody who does not know the needs of the Namibian people. There's nobody who does not know the needs of the youth. But why are we taking time? We are taking time because we do not want to own what is ours. The president made a communication to say, my people, you are too few to be poor. It's not going to be business as usual. We are going to have these key priorities. Are we moving toward those priorities as Namibians? At what level are we moving at those priorities? Then we only have 2026 and 2027. Then we go to 28, we are done, we are 2030. But that should also not make us short-term thinker to say life is ending at 2030. Life will not end at 2030. Let us say that let us put 2030 to be our target, but we're also focusing beyond 2030. Let us not be short-term thinkers, but let us not be ignorant of plans that we put on the table to say we do not have a limit, but because when something does not have a time frame, it means that this thing will not, be measured. So now, looking at, for those of you coming on the radio for the first time, this is Business and Economic Segment with David Shombe. And we are looking at issues of global development. We are looking at issues of continental development. And we are also touching on issues of regional and also issues which are affecting national development. As we have started with global prediction, as we have started with praising and understanding the statistics, particularly with the country of Ivory Coast, especially that which has improved its farm gate price, where farmers are going to be compensated more, especially in terms of production of cocoa. And we also look at the aspect of EU to say, when you look at Africa and international trade, what is Africa's contribution to the international trade laws? Or we are just taking everything? Ask yourself that question. What is our contribution to international trade laws? Have we ever been in the situation that we are not happy that we argue with a certain international trade law to say this one is only good for the West, is not good for Africa, or this one is good but needs adjustment? That's why you have a continent of Africa which is rich in terms of its natural resources and vegetation, actually, compared to other countries. When you go to other countries, when you travel, you'll be able to see that some of the forests are artificial. Some of the plants and grasses are made in the lab. But Africa is where you find a blue sky, because other people, skies are dark and they cannot even see the blue sky. Some people are traveling to come here to see the blue sky. But the point I'm trying to make is that what happened with Ivory Coast is that they boosted their production, but they are told to go back by EU to put their things in order. Go and find the report, trace every cocoa product, every cocoa beans that you are selling to a market. Go back and trace it. Where is it coming from? Was it produced due to deforestation and all these things? Then you say, it's environmental sustainability. It's quite a very good thing. But why so dictating? Why so dictating if I'm the main seller? And why? Because, without Ivory Coast, most of you, most of us who like dark chocolate, will never eat those chocolates without Ivory Coast. Because it's almost hold all the production of cocoa products. Without Ivory Coast, you wouldn't taste that dark chocolate that you all like.
and many other products being done from, produced from there. Now, in terms of now, what you have indicated, especially with Ivory Coast, it's also a question that we need to ask ourselves to say, if, if we want to do well as a country, as Namibia, can we not look at, let us not necessarily to say what the world is saying. Let us look at what Africa is saying, because Africa, African Union actually has a very smart way of dealing with its issues. African Union came up with a critical self-assessment institution called African Peer Review Mechanism, and made sure that with all the governments which are part of, AU, which are AU member state, they have national bodies of African peer review mechanism. And these guys, they are conducting studies to say, man, in Namibia, when it comes to making of laws, what is the problem? In Namibia, when it comes to implementing of what Africa want, what is the problem? In Namibia, when it comes to implementing the policies of trade that Africa wants, what is the progress? In Namibia, when it comes to human development, what are some of the progress? Those are the questions that African peer review mechanisms, as a self-assessment institution, is doing. Now, the interesting part is here, it's not an enforcer. It presents you with data, it gives you what is there, and it also has people from your country that are working with APRM. What is very interesting is that African peer review mechanism has been giving various reports. Then what is very interesting is that these reports have been acknowledged and presented nationally, in most cases by the head of state of those countries. But when it comes to amending, when it comes to adhering to these recommendations, it's not happening. But you know what is very interesting? And I'm very happy actually, and I do not want to congratulate the Financial Intelligence Center on its commitment, its effort to fill those gaps that were identified by Financial Action Task Force of Namibia not complying with international financial law, the movement of money and money laundering and all those illicit financial, flaws. But I'm very happy that the Financial Intelligence Center championed that agenda and comply with everything, although waiting for final pronunciation in May 2026. Now, what is very interesting is that when you get a recommendation from IMF, World Bank, and say, Namibia, hey, put yourself in order. Put yourself in order and make sure that you comply with this, this, and this. Your financial system is a bit out of order. We run and we write about that, and we make sure that we comply with that. But the question also that African have been asking is to say, those data which were used by those international institutions, are they really data, or they are based on just a general projection? But what interests me is when a report is produced, the case study is done about our country. The case study is also done about Botswana, not Botswana, but South Africa, Kenya, and also Ghana, on looking at policy coherence and things which we need to work out on to make sure that we are somewhere. But nobody made noise about that. Yeah, I understand people get that that document, but nobody really got make noise about that. But that, those are things that we're supposed to get on to say. If you are talking about policy cohesion, it's something that we spoke about already many years ago. But can we try our best to make sure that the recommendation of 2022 is no more going to be the recommendation of 2027? What is the progress post recommendation during 2022 APRM? Because if we get that right, because the only thing that we need to do in Namibia is connecting the policy making and policy implementation, that then we are done. Then you can only maybe invest a little bit on on data, on the research and development. Because if we connect that, there is no corner of the world that will stop us in terms of development, because we already have resources. We have right governance in terms of what we have now. We just need to fix those things. But yeah, it's something that requires everybody to understand. And it's also something that is not easy to say like the way I'm saying it. But it's something that everybody must understand, that we have a role to play. Because if you only think that your job is to go to work, feed your family, go and sleep, once electricity is off, you start asking people question what happened. But when people were trying to come up with better ways of supplementing the energy to the grid, we are not interested in national conversations. That is how life is. You think you are independent, but you are not. You are independent as a state, but as an individual, you are a product of the community. You are a social being. You cannot function without a cleaner at your work. You cannot function without a taxi driver, and you also cannot function without somebody who is cleaning the road, because that is how ecosystem is connected at an urban area. You may think a traditional authority is not variable until you get into trouble. So, dear listeners, thank you very much for listening to Business and Economic segment. And I'm going to leave you in the good hands of Omtuma team. And have a understandable, blessed Friday. Take care of yourself and see you around next time, same place. From me, David Shombe, bye-bye for now, and have a blessed evening.